I'll tell you what's going on. Is the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in this house. Miracles are transpiring in this place. People's lives are being transformed. Everyone watching online, many, many watching online, you are seeing something that God is doing. Now, let me just tell you my week. Every single day, God has proclaimed to me that I need to intercede and pray. So I prayed about an hour or 2 hours every single day for this house. I'm prayed up. I don't need to pray for you. I already have. What I'm going to do is I'm going to proclaim to you some of the things that God is saying to me that he's beginning to do in your lives and in mine. Number one, what God is doing is he is anointing you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That anointing is going to give you a, excuse me, a surety. Devil, just stop it. Amen. Done. All right. Here we are. The enemy is wanting you to believe that there is no hope in many different areas in your relationships, in your homes, in your business, in your jobs. Struggles are happening and you lay awake at night because of the difficulty you are feeling and expressing to the Lord about that. What God is doing is anointing you to have victory in every situation in your relationships. And so I'm proclaiming over you that from this moment on, you're going to walk in, we've sang it, a confidence that the gospel of Jesus Christ works so well that every situation that you are facing, the love that you have, the compassion you have for people will explode. God's going before you. Lives are being transformed. People that were against you will no longer be against you. God will create a relationship that you today, as you walked in this house, didn't believe that could ever happen. And God is doing that. Let me just say this to you. God is not going to do what you want. God's going to do what he wants in that situation. Amen. No longer you're putting him in a box, but you are doing that. You are now a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your home will be transformed. Miracles will take place in your home. Your business is transformed. The way you lead, the way you talk, everything you do is going to be different because the gospel of Jesus Christ just flows out of you with that anointing. People on the ball field, people in the basketball court, whatever, wherever you are at, that anointing is there, and you are going to hear the voice of God just lead you to the specific people. And if there are people that you know, your family, it's there. Amen. So go ahead and have a seat. And I want you to have that understanding that the Holy Spirit just gave you. It's not because of my explanation. God dropped some things in your heart right now. He put something in your mind that you're going to do and that you're going to become. And maybe some of us that we're no longer going to think that way. We're going to think God's way. Speaking of relationships, on the 16th of May, we have our marriage conference, part two. And look in your bulletin, get the information. It's for marriage and also for those that are single. They're wanting to learn about relationships. A tendency of people with marriage conferences is they say, well, it's about marriage, and why do you have single people there? Because the problem is a lot of times in churches is that we don't understand that single people need to hear the truth of the Word of God about relationships, and also they need healing because maybe they had difficulty in relationships. And we need to love all people and really stretch out and begin to allow that ordination of God's will in relationships to manifest in a great way. So sign up in the foyer or go online. You can sign up on our webpage. So let's go ahead and dive in, because I'm going to allow you to proclaim what God dropped in your heart this morning. And at the conclusion of the service, I'm going to call for the men to come and anoint you with oil. And you're going to come not for prayer, but you're going to come to proclaim as these men proclaim God's word over your heart, over your life. And we're going to see amazing, amazing miracles. Praise the Lord. I love my sister over there. She's a sweetheart. Amen. So don't allow that to hinder you. And to the parents, just understand, we're so thankful for you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. We began a series called A Way in the Wilderness. And today, we want to talk about signs, wonders, miracles. But I called this signs because I want in your heart, I want you to begin to see the sign of God, that God says, I'm here, and I'm going to do the miraculous. I already have done it. And that's my goal today. So A Way in the Wilderness is finding we are living in a world that has fallen. We are living in a wilderness, but we can, by believing God's word, walking in his ways, we can just expect the garden of God to just flow in our lives and God's provision to be beautiful. So we're reading and explaining Isaiah 35, and if you remember what I stated, it's a messianic chapter. Isaiah 35 is telling us what the Messiah will do when the Messiah comes. But we know the Messiah has already come, and we know what the Messiah, Christ, has already done. It is a done deal. So follow me here. We know that he's already come. So today, my title is Signs. Isaiah was saying when he comes, the Messiah will do signs, wonders, and miracles. Last week, we stopped at verse 4 of Isaiah 35, and so let's begin with Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing with joy. Amen. Isaiah stated, when the Messiah, Jesus, will come, he will come again with signs and wonders. Expect it. Now, as I make the statement, I want you to hear me, and then I'm going to say something tongue-in-cheek so that you get what I'm trying to say. It's natural for God to be supernatural. We need to stop looking at our God as this natural thing, and he's working with the natural with us. God is supernatural. If God wakes up in the morning, he's going to do a miracle that day, because that's who God is. Now, we know God never sleeps nor slumbers, tongue in cheek. Jesus did miracles when he was on this earth. But here is what we need to remember. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There were miracles that took place even before Jesus came. And God has always been a miracle-working God. When I give you my 3 points today, I'm going to call them at times conclusions. Because when I give you the points, I'm telling you, according to my study, according to who God is, it's already concluded that's what he's going to do. And it's not something that we need to run around and try to be good, try to get better. It is a lifestyle. So really hear this. God is a God of miracles and signs and wonders. And he will do it for you. Not because for you, but because Jesus Christ has already paid the debt for you. You have the ability to receive these things. So let me give you the first point. Here it is. God does signs and wonders. I love the word wonders. I've learned you can't figure it out. Sometimes you just have to wonder about it. Amen? You just have to wonder about it. The reason I said that to you and laughed a little bit, but some of you, your mind is one of the greatest assets you have. And it can also be one of your greatest liabilities, your mind. Because some of you have to figure it all out what he's going to do. Some of you have to walk around and say, well, you know, I studied this and I studied this and I read this and I heard this and I believe this is what he's going to do. God is a miracle working God. And he's going to do the miracle the way he wants to do that miracle. So please know, you cannot figure out God. No matter how hard you try. Now, of course we know this. We're in discipleship, OSL, Bible studies that begin tonight, by the way. Bible study begins tonight. You can learn about God. You can get to know him in a great way. But God is infinite. Well, you know, God only does his word. Well, of course he only does his word. But I'll tell you what. We don't know the word fully and the full impact of what the word is and what it does. And I want to tell you, God is a miracle-working God. So here's the conclusion. God does signs and wonders. Have you given up on that? Exodus 7:3 says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Psalm 135, verse 9 says, he sent signs and wonders into the midst of you. Daniel 4:3, how great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. Acts 2:22, just so some of you won't say that's all Old Testament. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, and you yourselves also know. Acts 2:43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Signs and wonders keep going. Romans 15. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about, hard word, I will fully preach the gospel of Christ. Paul did signs and wonders. The truth, God did them through Paul. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like that verse because some people say the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. They say wonders and miracles have passed away or signs have passed away. The problem with that thinking is that God has not passed away. Signs, wonders, and miracles are who he is. So what God does has not stopped. So if you hear people say that, or you're too extreme, or you're that holy roller, whatever they call you, stop for a moment, turn to them, say God loves you, and you walk away from that situation, and you begin to make a proclamation over the heart of that person and over your life that you are going to walk in the miraculous. Signs and wonders are going to manifest in your life because you are a child of God. Amen? So here it is. God is God. And God can never stop being God. God is the God of the miraculous. So just don't believe any theology that tells you God doesn't do miracles anymore. Why is that? God has to do miracles because God is God. Not because your situation is too hard. Or your situation you don't understand. You can't figure it out. God is God, and he says, I will do miracles, and that is being God normally. To be normal God, he has to do miracles. He has to do signs. He has to do wonders. That's the God that you serve, and the Bible tells us. So let's dig deeper now. Point number two. God heals spiritually. You ever hear that? God heals spiritually. And there are people that will go to certain directives, and what they do is talk about healing spiritually, and they become the God of their life. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Bible talks about. So let me explain to you. The Bible tells us the blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the lame are going to walk, and the mute are going to speak. So the question is, would it be all right if God healed your spiritual eyes? Where you read the Bible and it jumps out to you in Revelation. Would that be okay with you? The Bible is a spiritual book written by a spiritual being to spiritual beings. And let me just say it to you. I wrote this in last minute, and it's fun. What do you mean by that? It's fun when God speaks to your heart. Anybody have that happen? Isn't that fun? It's fun when God heals your lameness in an area of your life. Anybody ever call you lame? And you can walk in the Spirit in that area. It's fun when God loosens your tongue when you're afraid to speak to people, and now you can share the gospel with anointing, and lives are transformed, and salvation takes place. It's fun. Acts 2, it says the people heard them speak of the wonderful works of God in their language. So, we want God to also not only heal us physically, but spiritually. If you're saved, the Messiah has healed you spiritually. The Bible, literally translated, says he made you whole. In the book of Luke, there's a story of, remember the 10 lepers? I brought this out before quite a few years ago. One leper was a Samaritan and the other 9 were Jews. But the one came back to say thank you. And Jesus then says this. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 healed, cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Notice your faith has made you well. One version says made you whole. The words made you well is one Greek word. So notice the 10 of the lepers healed and only one leper was made whole. Walking in the anointing. was made whole. The Greek word is sozo, meaning to be healed or made whole in your spirit, soul, and body. So sozo, how important it is to God, watch this, is in the New Testament 110 times. 93 times, or 85%, I like math, is translated saved or save. So one of the most quoted verses has the word sozo, Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, translated, made whole. Where are the other nine? They're just looking for physical healing. I have found I've been made whole. There's not one thing in my life that can hinder me from being everything that God's called me to be because I have been made whole. So here's the reason why I'm giving you this. If you have called on the Lord, He's already opened your spiritual eyes. He has already opened your spiritual ears. He has already healed your lameness. He has already loosened your tongue. You have to recognize what is happening in this realm right now. The demonic realm wanted you to be distracted. Because I'm talking to you about something very important right now. So I want you to go ahead, ushers, just make sure that doesn't happen, is recognize what God is doing right now. He's transforming your thinking. Everybody online, you may not have saw what took place. That's okay. You don't need to. Don't be distracted. Hear the word of the Lord today and understand that today is going to be a different thing. When you pray, when you proclaim, you're going to see results because you no longer are walking around looking for healing. You are looking because you are whole to walk in everything that Jesus Christ already did today. Amen. I laugh. I was laughing when I saw that manifest. He's already opened your spiritual ears. He's already opened up your lameness and healed your lameness. He's already loosened your tongue. Last week I told you the Messiah brings strength. But you need to receive that strength. God has already made you whole. Receive it. Receive it. Now, let me just show you a bunch of verses here. I'm not going to share that many. Here are some verses that show you about spiritual eyes and ears. Jeremiah 5:21. Hear this now, O foolish people. I'm not talking to you. Without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Ezekiel 12:2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, remember when Paul was called Saul, and on the Damascus Road, he meets Jesus? Remember, Paul was blinded physically, naturally, and Ananias lays hands on him. Verse 18, Acts 9. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Paul not only received his physical sight, he received his spiritual sight. And right then when I made that proclamation through all my prayer this week, for some of us watching online and here, scales have dropped off of your eyes. You're going to begin to see God in a different light. You're going to begin to see God in a understanding of this reality. You are going to see the things you used to see, and you're going to see it different because it's become spiritual revelation, spiritual understanding. And it's not some crazy, you know, freaky, you know, doing flips or whatever, you know, to cause you to, like, whoa. It is a reality that Jesus Christ already did this, and he's a miracle-working God, and he's made you whole. But you have to receive that and understand it. It's yours today. All that Paul wrote after this was because he began to see in the Spirit. Jesus constantly talked to his disciples saying, you have eyes, but you can't see. You have eyes, but you're not seeing this. What Scripture, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, you have eyes, now you have spiritual eyes. Walk in that anointing. Walk in that revelation of what God is doing. So God not only heals naturally, he heals spiritually. Now, I've done this one time before. In the past 20 years, I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me to bring this up again, but to give you a greater understanding than I did quite a few years back. God opens wombs. If you remember, Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. Abraham thought if they thought that she was his wife, they would kill him. So Abimelech, the king, took her into his harem, and the king didn't sleep with Sarah, and God showed him a dream saying, you're a dead man. Obviously, he knew what that meant, so he gives Sarah back, and Sarah went back home to Abraham's home and slapped him. You didn't do that, but Genesis 20:18 says this, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Not only God opens wombs, he closes them. Listen closely, because there's a lot of emotions in this. That is not a judgment when a womb is closed. Everyone, please hear this. Every one of us have family members that have struggled in this area. If you're a believer in Jesus, God would never close your womb for judgment. Because Jesus had already taken your judgment. How many of you could be freed right now and be made whole if you understood the truth that God is a miracle-working God? We must understand this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God will never punish you for your sins because he already punished Jesus for your sins. He is a just God. He cannot punish two people for the same sin. So many times we think this way. On the way to work, we get a flat tire and say, God, you know my schedule. What did I do wrong? You open the door, you step out, and it starts to rain. And we say, nice touch, God. You didn't get a flat tire because of the judgment of God. Here is the doctrinal, biblical, theological reason you got a flat tire. You ran over a nail. God is a miracle-working God. If you are a believer, God is not punishing you for your sin. If you're having difficulty conceiving, please hear me. There is nothing you did wrong. Nothing. God punished Jesus for our wrongs, for our sin. But, as you heard me say earlier, let me show you where God might close the womb for a season. 1 Samuel 1:5. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed his womb. So God loved her, but God closed her womb. He wasn't punishing Hannah. So why would God close it? Remember, if you are a believer, God works all things for good. And you know what? I'm just going to give you, just once in a while I do this, my personal feelings about when people use that scripture. This is why they use it. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at everybody else. I'm bitter. But God will work everything for good, whatever. And a lot of people talk that way because they don't understand that our God is a God of signs. Our God is a God of wonders. Our God is a God of miracles. And we have to get to a place of recognizing that God does things out of being a gracious, loving, miracle-working God. I'm letting that sink in. So he is working all things for good. And that's a miracle-working God. In any situation, you need to always look at God with his character and his nature. When we look at God in the areas of our lives that we're needing a miracle or we're looking for something to change, we have to understand you can never judge what God's going to do by a character of a man or a sinner. You have to judge what God would do by his character, by who your God is. Remember? Hannah was so grateful after waiting, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Remember, God works all things for good? God needed Samuel to be born at the exact time so Samuel could anoint David as king of Israel. That's a plan of God. God also wants your child to be born at the exact time to meet the right mate. God is not just sitting up there going, all right, what do you need? God is up here. He's got his plans. He set miracles in tune with your life. And what we do is we hear God and we follow after God. So understand what God is doing right now. Let me just say, what God is doing right now, he is performing miracles, but be made whole. Understand who he is. You have situations in your life, some of you have been waiting a long time, and you're wondering. There's that word, you're wondering. And you're asking God and just, well, maybe God just doesn't want to do it. Really? A miracle-working God, a God of signs, wonders, and miracles, I guess he just, whatever. What he's doing is he's producing a life for you to walk in obedience with him, receiving who he is. He opens wombs. And he will do things also so that the plan that he planned for you will be perfect. That's the God that you serve. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what happened to me 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The Holy Spirit asked me this about 38 years ago. I tried to figure out, it's either 37, 38 years ago. He said, are you like the 9 or the 1? Do you just want what you want because I'm a miracle-working God and you're a faith person? Or are you the one that will walk in total wholeness and be a blessing that God works in and through you and becomes that blessing so you can bless other people? And that's what he said to me. I don't know if that's what he's saying to you today. But I'm just really, you got to understand, man, I've spent hours of prayer for today. And I am so pumped right now. I mean, I'm pumped more than when I was pitching years ago, getting ready for a game. I'm telling you what, I see it. I taste it. Taste and see that God is good. Taste what God has set up for you. And we have just wrapped ourselves up in this this emotional healing and all the different stuff that we need and all the stuff that's going on, instead of just saying, you know what? My God is a miracle-working God, and even though this happened, that person did that. Doesn't matter. God's plan is yay and amen for me. That's where we have to be. So we're talking about God opens wounds. Everything that God does is for our good. God has it totally set up for you, your children, and your grandchildren. For your coworkers, everything there. You are at the place where God wants you to be, and he's going to use you in that place. No matter what's going on, but you have to see with spiritual eyes. You have to hear with spiritual ears. And begin to speak with spiritual mouth, with a voice that says, I will proclaim the blessings of the Lord over my family, over my house, over my business, over my job. I've watched many who couldn't conceive, so they adopted a child. And then right after they adopted a child, they conceived. But see, they conceived, and then the thought came in, well, if I just would have waited a little. No, no, no. God had a plan for you to adopt that child. God is working things for good. He opened Hannah's womb. Genesis 29:31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Genesis 30:22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. God listened to her. She prayed. And if you see the prayer, she made proclamation. We need to pray. We need to ask God. Well, if God's a miracle-working God and God's plans are this and this and this, then I might as well not pray because he's going to do what he wants to do. No, he wants you to proclaim it. Some of you struggle praying about things because you don't want to get your hopes up and then be disappointed. You know, that's a very real sense of where people are at, where some of us are at. And I'm just trying to reach down, grab your hand and say, come on, come on, let's walk this. Remember, walking hand in hand with God? Come on, come on, let's do this. Let's make that decision. And you have, you know, and see, the spiritual eyes, sometimes we spiritualize situations so we don't do something. And I'm just trying to say to you, in Jesus' name, there are people that are sitting outside these four walls that need Jesus Christ. And you're the person that God had planned for you to minister to them. Let God open up your eyes, your ears, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 20, I could show you many scriptures, but let me give you one. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them, that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "Watch this. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus, they're blind. But Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. Watch this. We don't get this. Then it says, and they followed him. They were not just healed physically, but they were made whole. And they followed him. Oh, this will change you. Watching online, it'll change you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and be made whole. Another story, Jesus asked the blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" Remember the father whose son was demon-possessed? The father said, "If you can do anything," in essence, Jesus said, "If I can do anything," and Jesus said, "No, if you can believe, then all things are possible." And the father had a great response, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus said to the lame man, 38 years old, "Do you want to be made well?" Another, "Duh, of course." Why was Jesus so insensitive? Now, I wish I could say, well, there's 10 scriptures that quote why he was insensitive. No, I'm just letting you know, I want you to hear this and listen with spiritual ears. I really don't know why. I don't. But it's important that you ask God, and it's important that you believe what God says. I could give you my opinion, which I already have in another teaching, but I want you to say, "I heard this story, and this is why," but you have to base it on that you serve a God of the miraculous. He's not trying to decide, let's see, there's 10 people here that are sick. How many do I want to heal today? Because we're not made whole. We don't understand. We don't receive it. That our thinking goes so haywire in these areas. And that's why we battle the battles that we have. Jesus Christ has already won the war. And we have to begin to believe. The Bible tells us he knows what you need before you ask. And we wrongly interpret that and say, he knows what I need, so I don't need to ask. I just need to say, give me. It says he knows what you need before you ask, but he wants you to ask. He wants you to ask. And when you ask with the understanding you're asking a God who works everything out for good. You're asking a God that he has to be God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. I can't tell you how many teaching series that people do trying to explain why people are not healed. Try to explain why this person and that person, because that's how we think. But we have to change our thinking the way we see, the way we hear, the way we speak, and allow God to open up our eyes and our ears instead of be so grounded in this is why God is doing. No, God doesn't. I'll say it this way. God doesn't think like the world. God doesn't think like the world that's bitter because something terrible happened in his life. He doesn't think that way. God doesn't walk in unforgiveness. God doesn't walk in anger and then does something. I mean, you see it in the Bible. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. God got angry, but he didn't sin. And that reality is there. So in closing, what I want to do, I'm going to ask if the shepherd elders, would you make your way with your vial of oil? And let me ask you this. Most of us in this house, many watching online, you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have literally, you're walking, you're saved, born again, you're going to heaven. But have you received that you've been made whole? Are you like the one? Do you really see that thing that you're asking for or you're proclaiming in your family or your life, do you really see a God that can do that? Or are you seeing it because of the pain, you're giving up on it? I know that this is deep here. This is really a depth that I don't take you very often. But I'm going to ask, if you are here, okay, everyone, so you don't get all frustrated. I'm not asking if there's anything wrong in your life that you need to come because you've just messed up, you know, the past 30 years, 20 years, 5 years. I'm not asking that. What I'm asking, do you want to be made whole? That's the promise of God. So that when you walk out of here, you not only will be healed physically, but you'll be healed spiritually. And then God's work of miracles will turn everything around for good in your life. Because that's all he does for his sons and his daughters, for his children. So let's go ahead and stand, all of us. If you're watching online, we might have to say, I don't know if they're going to keep you with us, but I just want to say to you, be whole in Jesus' name. Gather with your family. Thank God for what he's doing in your home, your business, and your job. God bless you. Now to all of you, if you're here, not something you've done wrong, but if you want to walk on another spiritual level, be prayed over, be anointed. They're not going to spend much time with you, 5, 10, 15 seconds apiece. But I'm going to ask that as they play music, I want you to go ahead and come on down. If that's you, you want to be prayed over, come on down.